to the Mug Meetings Summaries Podcast. Our September 14th meeting started with the usual roundtable discussion, moderated by Adam Thompson. Unfortunately, we missed the first few minutes of the audio capture due to technical glitches. Our recording starts with Bill Reed talking about the CIRA registration dispute policy.
The rightful owner of that brand name can issue a dispute, get a judgment whether you actually own it. Names are not a problem as long as it's your name. Like if you get a name of a politician or a movie star or something, it's considered to be okay if it is your name. They don't have priority on it, but if you use it, to pretend to be a person, then.
So you see these resolution disputes go well, will come in,
it's an expensive process. It's $4,000 to start off with, plus lawyer's fees and everything. So you're talking about $10,000.
Is it actually a public process?
I don't think it's actually public. Any other questions on this? If not, I have one last quick question about it, about that specifically. Probably for Bill, but anyway, is the CDRP harmonized with the international dispute policy through WIPO now, or is there still a disconnect?
I don't harmonize. They're very similar processes, but they're out to achieve the same purpose. But I don't think they're harmonized.
One isn't considered like a superior court, for lack of a better word, to the other?
Okay. No, I think .ca is .ca.
Okay. Okay.
That content dispute, the WIPO one, might be used for the TLDs, which are coming on now. There might be some arguments there. There's no country at that point. So for the new TLDs, which there's about, I think there's 500 or 1,000 or something that are coming on the stream. I think it costs $150,000 to make a TLD.
Okay. Anybody here going to register their own TLD?
It's not hard to get a dot onion, but it's not a real TLD. if you're using Tor, and they have this.
Oh.
If you're going through like a Tor proxy with your browser, the proxy can notice if you're trying to access like dot onion, and it'll use the Tor network to actually find where it is.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions tonight? Somebody must have something.
All right. I'm looking to play around with the OS 10 server. Anybody have a copy of at least 10.4 that I might be able to buy for, say, $10? Reasons I have a spare G4 server sitting around the house, and I was playing with the Ubuntu server on a dual-core PC in August. And looking at the specs of the machine, there's no reason why I can't. If I update the software like to Apache 2 and a decently modern version of the MySQL, no reason I can't do the same thing on either machine.
I can think of some things you might be able to do instead of running Server 10.4, but yeah, people who own Server 10.4 are probably not done with it.
Because I think the new one out there is, or the latest one out there is probably 10.5, because I have heard of a 10.6.
Soon, I think. Next.
If anyone missed the news feeds over the summer, because you were not sitting in front of a computer, which it helped to do, probably one of the biggest headlines sort of in the world and the software world is that Oracle has sued Google. Google made their own Java implementation. So that's going to be a big, ugly one. Coverage will be pretty deep on Grokwaw. And you don't have to worry if you're using the Java implementation that Oracle, or the Sun release and that Oracle's continuing release. Because it's under the new GPL, there's an implicit patent license in there too. But Google wrote their own sort of implementation, so. Well, no, it's for Android.
Android, right.
Yeah.
Kind of related to this, apparently Google code is now open to the public.
Register your own projects, yeah. Speaking of open projects, okay, I'll take the next one. Has anybody here ever used Darwin Streaming Server? Has anybody here ever streamed video? Period.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice guess.
I actually did it multicast. Because I had multiple points within the same network where I was encoding different machines, because I was encoding to several different formats live. I had a powerful enough machine to go on one. And to reduce the workload for the machine that was sending it out to begin with, I used multicast so that it could actually send one broadcast packet out and have all the other ones pick it up. VLC is cool.
Okay. Oh, come on, somebody. John.
Reading about a fellow weaving Larry Ellison's new toy, Sun, and it's, I think it's a Canadian guy, one of the originators of Java.
Gosling?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's quoted as saying that the less I say, the better. Something like that. It was not. Yeah, you know, it was more out of bit. Than that. So then I want to know if we're filling in the blanks here that we speculate that he didn't like the doom do for Google. Did Google not share the improvements back to Oracle?
Google wrote their own implementation. They wrote from scratch.
Oh.
The only thing is, like, Oracle says it's not compliant.
So.
Yeah. They've said that before. Bigger people than they want.
So with compliance, really, the biggest club you can waive is trademark, and Google was pretty careful with that. I'm sure their lawyers knew the history. And so the club that Oracle is waiving here is patents. And so, like, even if it, and a lot of them are supposed to be more at the bytecode interpreter level. So it's like, it could have been a completely different language. Google could have never used the word Java. They did use it in some non-trademark infringing ways, pretending you can use the Java language to write these things. But it's the patents that Oracle is wielding. And
did they take care to make it be as slow?
It's part of the problem is it's kind of fast. I think it gets compiled to a different kind of bytecode system that is designed for the Android phone.
But still, having used the 800 megahertz G-pad, which is a piece of garbage, by the way, it's monstrously slow, but given that it's an 800 megahertz processor, they're obviously doing something a little bit more efficient than Sun's typical hotspot JVM would do. I don't know what, but...
Actually, the latest job is...
No.
On a 2 gigahertz system.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Question.
Does anyone have any recommendations for some fun multiplayer, preferably multi-platform games? Sour Braid.
Jump and Bump.
Sorry?
Jump and Bump.
Jump and Bump.
Yeah.
Where do you get that? Like, URL or anything?
Just do a web search.
Okay.
Jump and
Bump. And we'll
Bump and Jump.
Sour Braden is a C++ code. It's a first-person shooter engine, and it is extremely, extremely fast, sort of from the ground up, and it's multi-platform, runs on it. And if you're interested, it has new features like multiplayer, hit the E button, and it's set up properly. If it's enabled, edit in real time with all your friends, and then hit E, and it redraws everything. Cool. That's a new cool stuff.
Question over in the corner.
Yeah, I'd like to know if there's anybody here that could share some wisdom with me on video editing. Or is that maybe the place to go?
Yeah. have heard of people who have used... Yeah, it's one of those stories. I've heard of people who've had success starting with either Planet CCRMA or Ubuntu Studio, which apparently come bundled with reasonably good tools. But if you're looking for something on the order of Adobe Premiere, I think you're still kind of SOL.
There's Celera.
Well, that's the thing. I've looked at a number of districts. I've been in one. I've looked at the features and the different ones, and then got into about five or six OpenShot. There's a whole bunch of them. But I, going online and seeing that is one thing. And talking to someone who has actual experience with something else. And it's not that.
Final Cut Pro has a slightly scaled down version called Final Cut Express, and Red River College teaches the course.
And runs on Final Cut Express.
But the cores, they're similar enough that the cores in Red River covers both. And Winnipeg Film Group, which is only like $60 a year to join, they have an editing course that I've taken a couple of times and didn't find it terribly useful to my level. But that's another place to learn editing in Winnipeg Film Group.
I was involved in a short that used Kid Life this summer. The editing actually got done without me being present by someone who had never used it before. So it must not require too much geek skills. If anyone wants to see the short that was in a contest that was edited with it, talking at the break, and I'll tell you to find it on the web. It's on YouTube.
Sorry, which editing tool was that?
Kden Live.
It's one of the ones I've looked at. I've actually loaded up and looked at about half a dozen of them. But, that's one aspect of it, but I want to find something fairly decent I can work with. And if I'm going to have to go through the whole learning curve, I don't want to waste time jumping.
My point was, it must not have been a bad learning curve, because I didn't train the people who had actually used it, and they had never used it before, and they were doing their editing at the last minute in the contest, and they managed to pull it off.
Similera seems to be the big one that everybody seems to mention. That seems to get most press, and perhaps that's what it's for. I think they just released another group.
I haven't followed for a while.
And most of them, like you say, went to Studio 64, or they can have a bunch of them at all. These different ones came on the open show, so they like unbundled it. But that's what he said. Thanks very much. I just wanted to know somebody that needed reference to it.
Actually, I tried one a couple of years ago. One very much wanted to sort of create a menu for a DVD, and I didn't get very far with it. But a program called Vibes, which makes use of existing software and player and a couple of others. And it's like minimal, but it works.
Okay. John, you had a question?
It's to do with these shorts, one of the big film groups got together. There's going to be showing, I think, a Portage of Maine and some Jumbotron of some sort. Is this there already?
Yep.
Over by TV. Is it over with already?
General Center.
Yeah. TV.
Yep.
The screen.
It's a great big curved screen.
The same thing, the screen is already there.
The screen.
Yes, and slated for some time coming up, or I missed it already.
It's been off.
Okay, I'll try and get the date for that, because there's lots of cool shorts there.
Speakers that are on the ground.
Transmitting FM, like the drive-in theaters kind of stuff.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They were talking about.
On the speaking of that sign, it actually, during Earth Hour, it was lit with an advertisement for Earth Hour.
How are you supposed to turn your lights out?
Actually, not sure if anyone knows, how many people know or not, but there was a new phone company here in Manitoba. Well, beyond Rogers, we're talking about a real small shop.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Tell us about
it. Les, he's now a a competitive local exchange carrier.
Seaway.
So he has some arrangements with MTS, I guess, for basically the answer requirements on that too. I guess we're also getting a new area code right down the road, right? As you all know.
Yes.
Partially because of this whole issue here about area exchange and whatnot. So
basically you're saying when we have to replace our phone systems because they don't actually understand how to do 10-digit dialing, we can all blame Les for that?
No. Some an interesting story. Les is getting one of the last and least desirable 204 exchanges. He's getting the 666 exchange. By the way, he has a form where you can make requests for it.
He already has it, and he's routing it for some specific numbers.
Yeah, so.
Which I'm not, yeah, I'm not.
Just don't phone to sell, okay?
Okay.
So it's interesting then because really now the same infrastructure, it's reasonable. All the services that are there, all the exchanges and whatnot is pretty much wide open. So that'll be really interesting.
Yeah, especially if you can get 666.
I tried it. It's probably already just the whole exchange.
Let's hold on to that one.
Yeah. No kidding. Okay. Anything else? We're almost done here anyway. Sounds like we are done. Very quiet points tonight. Okay.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more mug meeting summaries, or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website. You can find it at muug.mb.ca.